After the success of his best-selling memoir, Look Me in the Eye, a Harvard neuroscientist asked John Elder Robison if he would like to join a study led by one of the world's foremost neuroscientists. They proposed to use transcranial magnetic stimulation, or TMS, a powerful brain therapy that's FDA approved for depression, in an effort to understand and then address the issues at the heart of autism. By stimulating the outer layer of John's brain, they hope to induce rewiring that would increase his emotional IQ. His new book, Switched On, a memoir of brain change and emotional awakening, is the extraordinary story of what happened next. Again, the title of the book is Switched On, and we welcome John Elder Robison to the roundtable this morning. Sir, thank you very much. Good to have you back in the program.
Thanks for having me with you again. Yeah.
When someone comes to you and says they want to do this, how much investigation do you have to do, and what kind of sales job do they have to do in you to say yes?
It's a funny thing. You know, I embraced it really very quickly because I was approached by a neuroscientist at a talk I was doing at Elms College in Western Mass here, and she told me that they wanted to use this therapy, TMS, to try and induce tiny signals in the brain to help it rewire itself. And the idea of TMS, where you've fired pulses of electricity into a big coil to induce a magnetic field, that was the same thing that we did to energize speakers at a rock and roll show. You know, we fired tons of electricity into all these magnet coils behind the speakers, and that's what activates the speakers in a sound system. I also used high-powered electromagnetic pulses to fire flash lamps to run lasers when I worked at the laser company. So I was pretty intimately familiar with the technology, and I thought, how cool is that? The idea that they're going to use a technology I'm familiar with in electronics to couple energy into the brain to cause it to change itself. And I was just really totally fascinated by it. So they didn't really have to try very hard to convince me.
The actual treatments went on every week for 6 months. Give us an idea of what the treatment entailed.
You sat in a chair, and the TMS coil was roughly the size of a baseball. So they would hold the coil up to your head in a particular area, and they stimulated different areas at different times, because that was the whole idea. This was research, not a treatment trial, so we were experimenting in different areas to see what got what effect. And a lot of times when you would receive the TMS, the coil would fire once a second, and you would hear the pop of the coil firing, and you would feel this like sort of little zap on top of your head. And it would kind of put your brain in a sort of a trance. I'd be in a kind of a neutral state. You could try and count. You could count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then you would lose track. Or you could start thinking of what you were going to get for groceries, and you'd be thinking about it, and then you forgot what you were thinking about. So it puts you in kind of a meditative state, or stopped the internal dialogue in our minds.
When did you start to notice a difference?
Well, it was a rather sudden thing. They did one stimulation, and I thought nothing had happened, and I got in the car to drive home, and I turned on the stereo, and it was like the music was alive. It was like it was coming out at me. I could see the performers on stage, and I could hear all the little sounds in the background. It was like I was there in 1978 or whatever again, and it was just an overwhelming sensory experience. I think that the TMS just sort of awakened or energized something in my brain that made it such a rich thing that it was overwhelming, and it was sudden.
When you feel those changes, when did you realize that it was changing you, that they were not temporary, but they were becoming permanent changes?
Well, the changes themselves, the direct changes, did fade away. So in another stimulation, after that, I was able to look at people, and it felt like I was sort of seeing into their souls. I could look at them and see their feelings. And it was really eerie and powerful, but that ability faded away, and it left me feeling like they made me smarter, and now I'm getting dumber, and am I going to come out of this with less insight into people than I had when I started? And so I did at that time have a little bit of a fear that maybe I would just keep going all the way down to the bottom, and that didn't happen. And what happened instead is as that faded away, what you might call a calmer sense of greater awareness came to replace it. So even as I couldn't look in people's eyes and feel like I was reading their thoughts, I acquired a greater range of emotional sensitivity and expression than I had before. And that remains with me today.
John Elder Robison is our guest. His book, Switched On, A Memoir of Brain Change and Emotional Awakening, it's published by Spiegel and Graw.
You write about in the book for four decades of feeling like a social misfit, of misreading or not being able to read other people's emotions completely. You say that your emotional responses changed, and then there's a realization, an aha moment where you say, oh, I can sense other people's feelings.
Well, all my previous life, I knew that I was different from other people and I didn't fit in. And at first, people told me I was stupid or no good or lazy. They had a lot of bad explanations for why I was that way. When I learned about autism, I realized that I'm just an autistic person and I have different abilities. I can see into machines and other people can't do that, but I can't look at people and discern what they're feeling. So once I knew that about myself, I think I constructed this kind of fantasy idea that the world must be full of messages of kindness and sweetness and light, and if only I could see them, I would be relieved of that particular piece of disability. And that was, I think, a hope I had going into the TMS study, but when they turned on the ability to see emotions in other people, the things that I saw were scary and overwhelming. I saw fear and anxiety and greed and avarice and all these other kind of downer emotions, and it was like the sweetness and light was nowhere to be found. And that was, it was a shock to me, but now I look back on that and I think what a fool I was to imagine that, because of course anyone who looks at the news knows that most of the news is, you know, kind of downer stuff. And I think the prevailing emotional current in our country is a down one, not an up one. And I think I was naive to expect otherwise. But it was, nonetheless, it was totally overwhelming to have it happen to me, to see it all.
TMS is a powerful brain therapy that the FDA has approved for depression. So in a sense, that is what's happening, that you are getting a more free range of the emotions and sort of a clearing out so that you can feel all there is to feel.
I think that's true, yes. TMS is a powerful therapy. It's interesting that because TMS doesn't have a pill associated with it, there is no multi-million dollar pharma advertising campaign. So we have a situation where the FDA has quietly approved TMS, and thanks to the lobbying of pharmaceutical companies, it's a backup for drug therapy in America, even as it's a mainstream treatment everywhere else in the world. And we've now got 1,000 clinics doing TMS for depression all over the country, and I would wager that most of your listeners don't know the first thing about it. They've never heard of it. And yet, you know, it's really life-changing in depression, and it has tremendous potential in these studies in autism and ADHD, anxiety, in addiction relief, even in suppression of epileptic seizures. It's a very, very powerful tool that nobody knows about outside of science.
Are you still receiving any types of TMS treatments?
nope, I'm not doing treatments now. I think that for me, the TMS, you know, it's interesting. The TMS effects were temporary, and they induced permanent change in me. And one of the things they did is they helped me to see that I'm kind of okay as I am. I don't think I would benefit. I could go back and I could continue to work on turning on emotional insight. I absolutely could do that. But I don't think I would benefit from that, because I now realize with the benefit of hindsight that the ability to see into people would just make me like everyone else. The ability to see into machines and into music and into you know, into all the other stuff I've done in my life, that's what's made me special and made me successful. And to take that and replace it with seeing into people, I now see that probably would not be to my benefit, even as it might give me a sense of comfort.
So there is a point where you and the doctor said, okay, we're at where we want to be.
Well, you might say that that's an ideal outcome, but I'd have to also stress that this was scientific research. It wasn't a treatment trial. So it's not like I could just keep doing it and say, oh, let's do some more and see what happens. I participated in a trial where there were going to be X number of sessions, and when I completed the sessions, that was the end of it.
Okay, so you knew there was a there was an expiration date at the beginning that you knew was was coming.
Right. It was not just an open-ended treatment thing.
Okay.
And there is no open-ended treatment for autism with TMS, even though there are TMS, autism, and ADHD studies going on all over the country now.
Which brings me to my next question of where do you see this going, and what do you believe are the possibilities when it comes to TMS and treatments for autism?
Well, I think that autism is itself a neurological difference that isn't subject to cure or remediation. You're not going to get rid of autism.
Right.
I think that what we instead should look at doing is we should look at relieving the ways autism disables us, and we should look at how we can maximize the success of autistic people in society. So, for example, some autistic people will share my sense that not being able to read the unspoken cues of other people is a disability. And to perfect this therapy that I tried to help see that, that would be a great gift to some autistic people. Other autistic people, probably an even larger number, truly suffer from depression and anxiety. So the TMS treatment that's currently FDA approved to treat depression could be life-changing for those autistic people and for non-autistic people right now. Another thing that's a life-threatening thing for many autistic people is epileptic seizures. And the idea that TMS has promise to suppress seizures and relieve epilepsy, that's a major, major thing for people. So I think what's coming on the horizon is the development of therapies with a promising, powerful neuroscience tool, and that's going to touch our lives in many ways. And they're specific ways, not, you know, the general statement of relieve autism, but suppress seizures and help insight and help relieve depression.
The name again of the book is Switched On, a memoir of brain change and emotional awakening. We're speaking to the author, John Elder Robison.
You do write in the book about how this newfound emotional intelligence affected your marriage. It impacted the relationship that you have with your son, Cubby, who you've written about. How did you see that? And I assume that these are positive effects.
Well, it was a positive effect with my son, but my wife and I got divorced after I saw everything differently. And I had lived with her chronic depression for a number of years. I had essentially not seen it, you know. I mean, I knew she was depressed, but it didn't hurt me. If she said, I'm just going to stay in bed, I'm not going to get up, I could say, come on with us, you know, and get going. And either she would or she wouldn't, but it wouldn't drag me down. I'd just go about my business. After TMS, though, I felt like I was suffocated by that, and I couldn't handle it. And I feel terrible because I ran away and left that. And I feel like I changed just all of a sudden overnight in that regard.
Is that difficult to overcome? I mean, that's one of the big downsides to this, that when it comes to emotions, even having a death in the family, of how you react to that, right?
It's certainly significantly changed how I react to everything like that. Absolutely, it did. Yeah, if you contrast and switched on the story of my encountering a dead guy at the roadside in the beginning of the book and the story of my first wife and my son's mother getting sick and dying at the end of the book, I think that those are very different tales that show how different a place I was at those two times.
What brought you to write the first book, Look Me in the Eye?
I realized it could mean a great deal to young people to have an older person step forward and say, hey, I'm autistic like you. And for me, autism has its disabilities, but it has its gifts. And I'm here to tell you that people like us can grow up and we can be successful because we're different. Not successful overcoming a disability, but successful because we are different.
And you wrote it also partly because people knew you through your brother telling your story.
That's right. And they asked for that. They said, they would go to my brother's events. They would say, oh, I've got, an autistic, cousin or brother or something, and I'm really interested in what's happening with your brother. And I thought, well, I should tell my own story.
Did your relationship with your brother change?
My brother kind of drifted away from me, and I haven't actually seen my brother in about 4 years now. But I don't think it's because of the TMS.
Is it difficult for you when you look at those relationships? I mean, you talked about the pain that you obviously felt of your marriage breaking up. But do you feel as things change, do you believe that this is all for the best and you are good with the treatments, or do you have any regrets?
I think that I am much better able to engage the broad public than I was before TMS. While TMS had really powerful effects on, marriage and my relationship with my son and such, the general effect on people that knew me for a long time was less, because if people already knew me and liked me and accepted me the way I was, for me to become a little more emotionally insightful, they had already accepted me, so it was okay before and it was okay still. The place it really made a difference is in meeting people for the first time, where before I might have said or done the wrong thing and they would have just said, he's a jerk, he's an idiot, I don't want anything to do with him. Now they were much more likely to want to be friends with me. And so it was really transformational in my dealings with people who don't know me. And I guess that's good. I think that the work that I do speaking out on behalf of people with differences like autism, I think that's important. I think people need to speak up as adults and say, autistic people bring a lot of things to society and we're important and we're necessary. And I think it helps me with that. So those are all good things.
You have engineered sound and lighting systems for rock groups like Pink Floyd and custom guitars for Kiss. And you are a very successful car mechanic. You own a business in Springfield, Massachusetts, restoring high-end automobiles, and also are the co-founder of the TCS Automotive Program, which is this high school program that teaches automotive trades to at-risk teens. Have you seen a difference in your work?
I think the workplace, like at Robeson Service, the car company, I think that the clientele we have now is more engaged with us and more interested in what we're doing. And maybe TMS has helped me connect with people better. I think it probably has. I see that difference in our work. Another thing that's different is after writing Look Me in the Eye, I had people come in and ask about apprenticing their kids at our car company, and I joined together with Northeast Center for Youth and Families, another Western Mass nonprofit, and we actually established a high school program here in the car complex where we teach life skills and automotive skills to young people with developmental challenges. And I'm, I think, very proud of that, and it's something that I would never have imagined myself doing before going down the road with the TMS and all. So it's hard to really say what role TMS played in that, but certainly it has played a part in this gradual transformation I've seen over the last 7 years.
Well, the name of the book is Switched On, a memoir of brain change and emotional awakening. It is published by Spiegel & Graw. John Elder Robison, I thank you very much for spending time with us. It's great to have you back on the show, and best of luck.
Thanks for having me.
Great pleasure. Thank you. Again, the title of the book is Switched On. It is published by Spiegel & Graw. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.